Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so mad science. On Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. And welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Today is October 3rd. A very important day and a very special day. Day will allow us to examine in the aftermath of the 59 or more deaths in Las Vegas, the root and or cause of insanity. In any such endeavor to define such a egregious condition, we must then begin to find out what insanity is. What are its symptoms? Can it be reasonably defined? Is it a disease? How many people are insane? So, to that end, let's begin. According to How Stuff Works, insanity is defined as the following. Now bear with me, I'm going to cover a vast area of information. I'm going to suggest to you that you take notes if need be. But I'm encouraging you to sit a critical ear as you listen. And if you have an opinion to share, our call-in number is 563-999-3089 and share your thoughts and your opinions with the audience of Not So Mad Science here, the Black Hole Radio Network. We ask that you give us your name and where you're calling from. Okay? I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Let's begin. According to How Stuff Works, what is the definition of insanity? Chris Opfer begins this way. That's insane. Who among us hasn't said this in regard to the current price of college, the traffic at rush hour, or on someone's decision to quit their job and ride around the U.S. on a unicycle? But none of these items actually define insanity. To appreciate what insanity actually is, it is very important to grasp what it isn't. contrary to popular belief, insanity isn't defined as doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. These words are attributed to Albert Einstein and are not particularly true. And while it does often and is often used to describe certain states of mind, insanity is also not a mental condition. I repeat, insanity is not a medical condition. You won't find a diagnosis for insanity in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, otherwise known as the DSM, which is published by the American Psychiatric Association. Instead, insanity is a legal term that refers to criminal defendants' ability to distinguish right from wrong during the specific instance in which he or she allegedly committed a crime. I repeat, insanity is not a medical condition, but it is a legal term. Many people may be familiar with the legal implications of an insanity plea, as portrayed in a host of Hollywood courtroom dramas, which is why it's very dangerous to take your grounded information, put it into your mind by what you see on television. In the movie A Time to Kill, the character played by Samuel L. Jackson, Carly Haley, was temporarily insane in his defense for shooting two redneck white boys who raped his daughter. In real life, insanity as a criminal defense was established in the 16th century in England. By the 1700s, courts considered an insanity plea using the wild beast test, where a person so deprived of understanding and memory of his or her actions says to be no more than an infant, a brute, or a wild beast could be found not guilty of his or her crimes. The focus of an insanity defense continues to be on a defendant's ability to understand the gravity of his actions in modern American jurisprudence. Courts in some states also look at the person's ability to control the impulse to do something he or she knows is illegal. Do you agree or disagree? This brings to mind a picture that hit the World Wide Web and a lot of news channels of Jared Lee Loughner after he was arrested for a shooting spree in Tucson, Arizona, where U.S. Representative Gabrielle Gifford was among the victims. Loughner, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia, was sentenced to life without parole. But his picture, taken at the Pima County Sheriff's Office, became the poster child picture for the look of insanity. However, the Huffington Post defines insanity in another manner. In 2011, Cara Santamaria penned a rather extensive paper on insanity titled The Real Definition. She says the definition of insanity is repeating the same mistakes over and over again and expecting different results. Uttered the know-it-all guy in the coffee shop, offering free therapy to his visibly shaken friend. He had all the telltale signs of the recently heartbroken, and Mr. Fix-It's platitude didn't seem to be helping. She says, I resisted the urge to butt in with a resounding, no, it's not. That's the definition of preservation. But felt that my humble, nerdy correction wouldn't contribute much to the bromatic mood of gingerbread lattes and coolies women banter. So instead, I'll tell whoever who wants to listen, right here, right now, that is not the definition of insanity. It never has been, and it probably never will be. The above quote has misattributed to Albert Einstein. But we can add to that list, these are my words, Benjamin Franklin, and Mark Twain as well. In fact, none of those great minds were responsible for such a convincing yet blatantly incorrect definition. The first time it actually appeared in print was in 1981. Narcotics Anonymous text page on page 11. The term insane is outdated parlance in the mental health community. No legitimate medical or clinical professional would be caught dead saying it in public. As stated before, it is a legal term. A defendant may be found not guilty by reason of insanity if his or her lawyer can provide clear and convincing evidence that he or she was suffering from severe mental illness, and specifically some type of psychotic disorder, like schizophrenia. Now, they add to this list bipolar disorders. But we will show cause that there's really no such thing as bipolarism. Additionally, severe mental illness may be caused by some organic brain illness. These things which prevented him or her from knowing that the crime committed was in fact an illegal act. Because insanity is a legal distinction and not a medical one, although forensic pathologists may offer clinical opinions about the mental health of a defendant, only a judge or a jury in this particular system of jurisprudence can make determination about a defendant's insanity. The quote above is not only myth about insanity that's commonly seen in popular psychology. Richard Nixon, former president of these states, centered his crime-fighting efforts against the insanity defense in 1973 in his attempt to abolish it entirely. A Wisconsin State Journal, an article there says, and I quote, a Justice Department lawyer flippantly claiming that it does away with the defense of I was insane when I committed the crime, but wonders of wonders, I've recovered. Even presidents. Wow. In today's context, even presidents aren't immune to the mythological thinking about popular science and psychology, especially when it adds ammunition to their political arsenal. Surprise, surprise. Did Nixon really think that the insanity defense is a convenient loophole that allows for the most brilliantly nefarious thespians to malinger their ways out of prison and into who knows where? Hollywood? Do you think that the insanity defense is a common ploy in the courtroom? If so, do you think that a significant portion of these criminally counterfeit walk away scot-free after sentencing? If the idea of an insanity defense sits like a rock in your stomach and you worry that it is commonly abused, you're not alone. In a 2007 study, undergraduate students were questioned about their attitudes toward the use of the insanity plea in the United States. Students estimated that the defense was used in approximately 30% of cases and was successful approximately 30% of the time. Sound reasonable? In fact, the insanity defense is used in only 1% of all criminal proceedings, and its success rate is only 25% of that 1%. Therefore, less than 1 in 400 defendants are found not guilty by reason of insanity in this country. Some studies show this rate as being much lower, closer to 1 in 1,000. Public estimates of the number of insanity acquittals are as high as 81 times the actual number. Perception. Furthermore, there appears to be no significant difference in length of time served for murder between incarcerated sane criminals and insane persons who were involuntarily committed. So why do these misconceptions remain? In the Skeptic magazine article, of top 10 myths of popular psychology, the authors write that, and I quote, we Americans live increasingly in a courtroom culture between court TV, CSI, Law and Order, and CNN's Nancy Grace were continually inundated with information about the legal system. Nevertheless, this information can be and is deceptive because the media devotes considerably more to legal cases in which the insanity defense is successful, like John Hinckley, than to those in which it isn't. As is so often the case, the best antidote to public misconception is accurate knowledge. Lynn and Laura McCutcheon found that a brief fact-based report on the insanity defense compared with a news program on crime featuring this defense produced a significant decrease in undergraduate misconceptions concerning this defense. These findings give us cause for hope, as they say that it may take only a small bit of information to overcome misinformation. Keep all of this information that I'm sharing with regards to insanity in mind as we reflect on the events of this past Saturday in Las Vegas. Who and what is insane? In the journal Medical Daily, an article titled Under the Hood. The definition of insanity. Science says the word really refers to mental illness, not bad habits. My words here. The definition of insanity is probably most likely and surely different from the one you're thinking about. The definition of insanity is not to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. Again, I repeat, it is a quote made popular by movie and TV magic. The Oxford English Dictionary, though, defines insanity as, quote, the state of being seriously mentally ill, madness, lunacy. And I repeat, insanity isn't a medical term. It is absolutely a legal one. Unfortunately, in the U.S., a defendant can plead insanity if, at the time of a crime, the defendant can prove experiencing a severe mental disease or defect, meaning they were unable to appreciate the nature and the quality or the wrongness of their acts. And we got to bear in mind, the legal term of insanity allows so much wiggle room and a way to not be accountable for what you do because you were insane at the time you committed the act, which means you suffered from mental disease only when you were doing it, not the moment before, not the moment after, but at the time of. That is not to say that at any specific moment in time, an individual can be suffering from extreme mental distress. In most cases, we use the word insane to describe what's not considered normal, like a basketball player's ability to hop, his vertical leap, or the speed of a horse or a car, or video games' clean quality graphics. However, insanity is meant to describe LeBron James's dunk. I don't think so, personally, but okay. But rather, it's meant to describe mental illness. Now, separate from the DSM, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, 4% of the population suffers from a severe mental disorder, which can interfere with their daily life. Additionally, 20% of adults in the country will suffer from a mental illness at some point during any year in time. And half of the population will need some type of treatment. While mental illness is still stigmatized, California being a good example, you would think that we are getting better at recognizing when someone is suffering from a mental illness. So although you might think that someone or something is insane, just grab a book of thesauruses and find a different word that will better describe the backflipping, the blowtorch juggling, the three-legged hippo you just saw ramp across the Grand Canyon on a souped-up Segway. Find a better word to use than to describe things as being insane, and use the word for its just prescribed meaning. Our relationships with individuals, when we argue, man, it was like, well, that's insane. He's insane. She's insane. No, they don't agree with you. They're not insane. We throw the word around to inflame the ignorance of the unlearned and the prejudice of the knowing, who know better, but it allows them to dictate public opinion. Still, we have not found what insanity is. I mean, we keep hinting at some mental disorder. Dr. Ryan Howes, a PhD, ABPP in therapy, in his professional opinion, he says this of insanity. He says, I hear this every week, sometimes twice a day. And we go back to the infamously wrong quote from doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different result. We already know that's not it. We can reasonably conclude and agree that it is a legal term. But insanity as a noun specifically says mental illness of a severe nature that a person cannot distinguish, and look at this key word here, fantasy from reality, and cannot conduct his or her affairs due to the psychosis or is subject to uncontrollable impulsive behavior. Well, if that is the definition of insanity, the entire population of this nation, the United States of America, from its very top to its lowest of the low, the poor man or woman who lives on the street, is insane. Was it just that the shooter in Las Vegas was insane and he decided to carry 10 bags of weaponry into the Mandalay Bay Hotel and go to the 32nd floor, find a window overlooking a country western festival, and begin to just blatantly spray bullets from high caliber automatic rifles, killing 59 persons or more? Is that insane? Is that the inability to control an impulsive behavior? That's insane, according to the definition. But also, isn't it insane by definition to use the language of the highest office in the land to say things impulsively and emotionally that exacerbate and causes problems, than to use that language to eliminate problems? Uncontrollable, impulsive behavior is the definition of insanity. Therefore, everyone in this country is, by definition, insane. Insanity is a concept discussed in court to help distinguish guilt from innocence. It's formed by mental health professionals, but the term is today is primarily legal, not psychological. There is no insane diagnosis listed in the DSM. There's no such thing as the nervous breakdown either. Personally, I'm not in the habit of slamming cute sayings. I've started hearing people use it, this term insanity, and a need of avoidance to confront problems or issues to find a resolution. It's a defense mechanism. Rather than facing their fears, they grab onto the shame to protect against possible failure, pain, or rejection. The definition of insanity is by far holistically just legal, and we must upgrade our thinking so as not to be distracted by one event in Vegas to a movement throughout the country. Since by definition, everyone in this country is insane. Perseveration. Pathological, persistent repetition of a word, gesture, or act. Perseverance. Steady persistence in a course of action in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. A slave. Must persevere regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the obstacles or the discouragement, lest he or she dies. Preservation. The pathological, persistent repetition of a word, a gesture, or act. The slave master's function on preservation, and the slave survives by perseverance. The man or individuals or the mind of persons that would go into a hotel to the 32nd floor and begin to wantonly kill 59 or more people to create the distraction from the national movement of collective effort to change the condition of a body of people. That person or persons is the mind of the slave master, suffering with the pathological, persistent repetition of a word or gesture or act to maintain his or her supremacy. Now, we have some forms of dementia, traumatic brain injury, anxiety, excessive compulsive disorders that can cause people to persevere that repeat words in tasks as they try to repeatedly to solve problems, but are left frustrated and unsatisfied. They, with that condition, are not necessarily insane, but are stuck in a non-productive pattern due to a glitch in their brain function. Some medications or CBT tools can prove to be helpful in that instance. Are you insane if you cater to the idea of, if at first you don't succeed, try again? There's also the psychodynamic construct called repetition compulsion, where people unconsciously repeat past conflicts in an attempt at mastery. The martial artist, the boxer, the track athlete, the basketball player, the baseball player, the football player, the soccer player, a musician, an artist. Any creative act requires practice to master the subject matter. Is that person insane? We want to finish unfinished business. So oftentimes we recreate old, unresolved problems for the potential to achieve a better outcome. A typical example would be a guy who desired closeness with his emotionally unavailable mother as a child and therefore seeks out unavailable women in his adulthood. Or a woman who feels it's always her duty to invite her selection of apathetic friends to socialize. Or someone who is drawn to crowds of wealthier, smarter, prettier people where they always feel left out. They are finally trying to conquer some old feelings of rejection, their fears. But even if they do succeed today, it doesn't erase the pain of the past. So let's not confuse with this brush called insanity the difference of preservation with perseverance. A persistent quest against a fear or toward a goal is often the best course of action. Repeating the same constructive behavior over and over, hoping one day for a positive result, is difficult, but it is also virtuous. It's the effort made by eating oatmeal every morning, brushing your teeth after every meal, and daily journaling. It's weekly therapy, consistent workouts, and taking time for spirituality. It reminds me of the movie Rudy, where Rudy kept trying over and over and over to get into Notre Dame. Or Mother Teresa tirelessly serving the poor, or someone working to systematically overcome shyness, or building healthier habits, or learning to communicate better. It's a 12-stepper taking it one day at a time. The qualities of perseverance, consistency, loyalty, these are beneficial to good health and definitely not insane. and they're doing the same thing every day, hoping for some measure of progress. So in the aftermath of Las Vegas, how do we tell the difference? Preservation feels compulsive, hopeless, helpless, automatic, and unsatisfying. There is a desire to stop, but stopping doesn't feel like an option. Perseverance feels like striving toward a noble goal, working out to lose weight, working out to create a better physical image for oneself. These workouts are not limited to physical activity, but is also a mental exercise. But whether or not the goal is reached, it is important because it is the virtue that is put into the effort. Perseverance is a strong, valuable quality. Preservation is a troubling issue needing critical attention. It is a slave master mentality. Don't get caught up in the media hype. Take the time to understand and see. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad Hill, on the Black Hole Radio Network. We're going to take a brief, and I mean a brief stop, to share a piece of music for those that we love. And if you're that little loved one out there listening, this song is for you.
mean to take up too much of your time, but just thought I'd give you a ring and see how you was doing. How's everything? A friend of mine told me he saw you the other day.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Said you were still looking good. Made me feel kind of good, you know. Told me that you did ask about me. I've been really meaning to kind of get to talk to you before now, but you know how a man's pride is sometimes kind of won't let him do what he wants to do. Guess what?
It ain't no future, babe.
I know this is gonna knock you in, but
I
even went out and got a gig. Oh, we got you not hip to the hip talk. Plain JLB, baby. Working 8 hours a day. All the overtime I can get. I don't know, I guess it might be too late, but
I'm without you, I die.
Lucky I done been. Well, you know, being they got that lottery. I hit it. I like to kind of make up for a lot of things that just seem not to go right. Don't want you to think I'm trying to buy back your love or your friendship. But now I feel like I got a chance to kind of make things up to you a little bit.
I miss you, baby. Listen, baby.
Enough about you and me.
Listen, baby.
How's my little son?
But I got to tell you this.
Have you ever asked about me?
I know you
just
found
a little
somebody
bit.
New. And I just don't know what to do.
Does he still like to go down by the
miss you,
supermarket?
Give you the world.
If I could just, if I could just see you, can't really say what you mean or what you want over the phone. I swear I miss you. You done heard it 10 times or more, but I swear I done changed. I swear I done changed.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A., I guarantee you Detroit has not lost its soul. We're going to get back to our subject matter of insanity. What is the science behind insanity? The hormone-brain connection. There are legitimate reasons that you feel the way you do. Current scientific research, epidemiological studies, and clinical trials clarify and prove a real and profound interaction between hormones and your brain chemistry that can create a set of symptoms and emotional states that make you feel, well, insane. We know that the brain and its many neurotransmitters are highly dependent on estrogen. When estrogen levels shift or become erratic, women, I repeat, women experience emotional ups and downs. Insomnia and other cognitive disruptions such as brain fog and memory loss. Endocrinologists now understand that women are not only vulnerable to emotional ups and downs when they are premenstrual, but they are vulnerable during all of the reproductive turning points in their lives, after childbirth and during perimenopause and menopause, when hormones and brain chemistry fluctuate the most. When you add the stresses of daily life, specifically how I appear to myself, how I visualize myself in the mirror that I look in, how I think other people see me, my shape, my clothes, my look, my idea, my self-identity, the stresses of daily life. When you add those to the mix, the neurotransmitter imbalances become amplified and women suffer. Neurotransmitters. And I targeted women specifically because it is an easy target because of that monthly change and the childbirth and everything that women go through that men don't experience. Makes it easier to give the description. So don't think that I'm targeting women. I'm not. But I need you to hear something. I need you to understand. Neurotransmitters control your behavior, so an imbalance or lack of certain neurotransmitters make you feel lousy and out of sorts. It is critical. I repeat. It is critical that there are enough of the major neurotransmitters present daily in order for the brain to be chemically balanced and for you to feel emotionally, or to feel right emotionally. Neurotransmitters can change depending upon your current requirements and circumstances. Sleep disorders, and a lack of motivation indicate brain chemistry imbalances, which also lead to lower serotonin. Serotonin is the natural drug in your body that keeps you happy. Low serotonin levels, like for some people right now, means you have that heavy feeling or that low feeling of depression and just out of sorts. Now, some of the most significant clinical issues and symptoms linked to neurotransmitter imbalances are anxiousness, expectations, like going to a photo shoot or something. The higher the expectation, but the lower the net result, leads to apprehension and misgivings, causes a mood disorder, depression, fatigue, attention issues, appetite control, weight control, libido, and headaches. Obliged to offer some cure-all, a lot of medical doctors do their best to address what they see and prescribe blood pressure medication, antidepressants, or sleeping pills. Or possibly your gynecologist offered you birth control pills in an attempt to normalize your hormones. Or a psychiatrist talked you into antidepressants to normalize your brain chemistry. These band-aid and false flag treatments don't work at all. They may give some relief of some kind, or they may leave you with unpleasant side effects. Then what comes? The result? More of the same on top of what you already have. You may feel as though your healthcare practitioner didn't hear you or failed to treat what is really going on. Unfortunately and sadly, many women are told your emotional suffering is all in your head, or their symptoms are caused by stress without any suggestion of what to do to take in order to feel better. Neither birth control pills, nor antidepressants, or any other that pharmaceutical crap will treat the underlying hormone brain chemistry imbalance. Symptoms are signs that something is wrong, and you may experience more than one symptom at a time, and may also experience them at different times during the month. Here's a list of the most common 12 symptoms that women share. Top 12 symptoms: anxiety and panic attack, crying spells, feeling depressed, feeling flat, rapid thoughts, meaning you can't get your mind straight, exhaustion, tiredness, insomnia, irritability, rage, lack of motivation, feeling overwhelmed or withdrawn. When these symptoms are reviewed, we can learn a great deal about what is going on with your hormones. Men suffer these too, but I'm focusing on these female hormones because it is easier to make the example. Specifically, the female hormones, estrogen and progesterone. as well as the adrenal and thyroid hormones. The good news, and I mean the good news, is that you, your loved ones, and your healthcare practitioner can now test your neurotransmitters to find their levels and see which ones are responsible for the brain chemistry imbalances that are causing your emotional distress. Emotional symptoms also clearly tell you that your brain chemistry wants and needs. What does it want? What does it need? It needs compassion, tenderness, firmness, and a new direction of attack to give that life back, that invigoration that it needs to get up and kick some more butt. A new direction and a new goal. Or a more refined look at the same direction, but a different attack to achieve the goal. So a hug, a kiss, a tender moment, and a swift kick in the rear to get you moving. But again, once you know which neurotransmitters are too high or too low, you can figure out the kind of support you need. From amino acids and other nutritional supplements and mood foods to hormone and lifestyle changes to help you stop feeling insane and to begin to find your emotional balance again. So what am I saying? When it comes to these feelings of insanity, and we have documented that insanity is not a medical, psychological, or social term, but is specifically a legal definition, we can now say, stop saying, that's insane. You're insane. No, they're not. You're not in a court of law. So the word insanity is inapplicable. It's the wrong word to use. It is a divisive word because most people don't understand. I would venture to say 99.8% of the population here does not understand and use the word incorrectly. But as we also learned tonight, truth, when presented with falsehood, people will always, always, always lean toward truth who want to be better than they are. So you would ask, Brother Harold, what the heck does this have to do with Las Vegas? When we ask the question, was the shooter or shooters insane? Well, yeah, they were insane. We've proven tonight that every man, woman, and child in America is insane. By legal definition, we are all insane. From the highest office in the land to the man, woman, or child who lives on the street that we call bums, vagrants. We are all insane by legal definition. But that does not mean that we cannot overcome our insanity. Insanity is like a disaster. the more you are able to mitigate and resolve the conditions of the disaster that surrounds you, you lessen the impact of that disaster until there is no difficulty for you to overcome. Thus, your degree of insanity can be decreased and decreased and decreased into nothingness. So I offer this as well. Though many will reject the source that I'm getting it from, it best explains this thing of insanity. And it is provided to us by the Scientology in their book, Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health by L. Ron Hubbard. On page 93 of his book, he says this: the court of law, which goes through the lugubrious process of having a man pronounced sane or insane, thus Mr. Hubbard defines as irrationality. Irrationality, by definition, is the inability to think when under strain. When our children are sent into the military, they are trained to have a conditioned reflex when under fire from live ammunition to be able to function in that environment without panic and or fear. So too must we train ourselves to deal with the irrationality of the world around us, that we can maintain a greater degree of rational thinking while under strain or stress. Thus, by definition, we would say that the shooting in Las Vegas is terroristic, but not the work of an insane person by legal definition. This is Not So Mad Science, and I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Let us all give thanks to God in whatever form or fashion you think best, that we are here, we are alive, and we have the capacity to be better tomorrow than we are today, because that is the act of the sane, to be more than they are and greater than they thought they can be. To the love and my love, you are greater than you are when you do the work to be better than you are. This is Not So Mad Science. I'm your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network, bidding you a fond adieu in the words of Peace and Paradise of the Nation of Islam of Assalamu Alaikum. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith. I'll talk to you once again next week. Y'all take care.